to Simon Kofsanach. We've gotten to Sifya Tess, and at this point, Sifchaf rather. Sifya Tess and Chaf. We took an aside to talk about a heter iska. I tried to do last week. Is there a heter iska form there? What? Heter iska form? There should be one or two around. No, the heter iska form. If there's none here, I'll make another copy afterwards. Isaacs wasn't here last week. He was listening to the tape while he was driving. He wanted to look at it. Yeah. Okay, last week we discussed the way a heter iska works. The fact that a heter iska basically constructs an iska, an investment where a person could theoretically lose money, and the only guarantee he has is the form of the iska, which states that there's a certain amount of anticipated profit which is assumed and will be paid to the investor, and that if that profit is not realized, the managing partner is only believed with a shvua. If he claims losses, he has to bring two edim, and since that's highly unlikely, the heter iska therefore goes forth. I mentioned to you last week that there's a heter iska of chati milva chati pekatan, and there's a heter iska of kulei pekatan. Now, really, to continue the discussion, I really should review the whole thing from last week and then continue it, but it's a little involved. What happened at the end of last week's share is that there was a tremendous protest from a number of people here, all of whom are going to walk in after I finish explaining the issue. The problem was this. I mentioned that there was a kulei pekadon form which has certain benefits to the use of a kulei. What is a kulei pekadon? It's that I give the money and it's a total investment. The contract says that there's an assumed profit of a certain amount, that the iska says, and as long as he pays that amount of profit, that can there'll be no shvua and no anything else. So the question that was put forth here was the following. What happens if someone's starting a business and he wants me to be a partner? Now, if I'm willing to take a chance on losses, then I have no problem. I could just do a normal iska, which means I'm just a business partner with him, and whatever arrangements we make are fine. As long as I may lose my money, there's no problem. However, I want to be guaranteed my money, or in certain cases, I want to be guaranteed half the money. As I mentioned to you last week, I'm investing $100,000, and the business is 50. He's running it. The business is 50% his, 50% mine. So I'd like to be guaranteed at least the 50% that he's getting half the business. I'm half the business. I take half the losses. He takes half. So I do chati milva chati pekadon. I want to be guaranteed the whole thing. I do kulei pekadon. It's a form which says basically that the $100,000 is a pekadon on the iska terms, and there's assumed amount of profits. If he gives me 5% of the $100,000, which is $5,000 a year, then I don't require a shvua or witnesses. Well, what happens if the $100,000 business over time becomes worth $1 million? Now it's $10 million. Now it's a big, successful business. I am going to be stuck still getting $5,000 a year. And worse, when the business is sold, all I'm going to get back is my $100,000. I think I own half the business. I'm going to only, if not so. This complaint is true. If you use a kulei pekadon form, so what you're just saying is that even if you use a chati milva chati pekadon, if you use a typical heter iska form, all you're doing is giving him $100,000, getting $5,000 a year back, and all you're entitled to is the $100,000. Now, if you do want taka to be a half owner in the business itself. So then the het to iska form, you have to have a special het to iska drawn up for you. You can't use the typical het to iska forms. But it's true, the het to iska forms, all of them, which are in the Chochmas Adam and in the Sma and in the Bris Yehuda and in all the contemporary Svarim, do not, in fact, they do give you half ownership in the business, but it entitles the managing partner to say that I'm just going to give you 5% and that's it, and at the end I give you back $100,000, and there's very little that you can do about it. Now if he wants, he can give you more, because the het to iska says that it's an iska. If he wants, he could say the business went up in value. Now you're not going to say, oh, I don't believe you, bring me 2 Adim, because he said it went up, right? So he can do that, but you're at his mercy. I mentioned to you last week, you can tell him you won't sell the documents of sale. You're not mechuyev to sign the documents of sale of the business. So you can tell him, I'm not going to sign those documents, and you can hold out for better terms. But even that's a little complicated. But Lamaisa, to use a typical het to iska form, you will not have any guarantee that if the business value goes up, that you'll get half of it. That complaint at the end of last week's share was correct. And if you use a typical het to iska form, it is a problem.
If you think money, what is the money for?
Because really, you did give him an iska. Really, half the business, if you do a chatzi milah, chatzi b'kar, it's half your business, half his business. However, in the contract, you allow him to work on an assumption of 5% profit. 5% profit includes the increase in the value of the business, of total profit.
Did he give more? What
do you know? The agreement. The agreement was that there's an iska. No, again, there are two parts. One part is that really you own half the business. I'm managing it. You give me money. I'm opening up an ice cream store. So you're giving me money, I'm investing. Now, my ice cream store made it big. You are entitled, what Tetzka says, you're entitled to half of the profits. However, we're assuming there'll be 5% profits, and therefore, as long as I pay you 5%, there's not going to be any accounting. That's what the contract says. And just like if there's less, I can give you the 5%, there's more, I can give you the 5%. So, yes.
Maybe you have to write it out. It's not understood. Has the miller cut to be cut?
Most people didn't understand it. Even if I explained it. The truth is, I mentioned to you last week, two people who understand het to iska could just say the words al pi het to iska. There's a very funny thing. If you look at the old het to iskas, it says al pi het to iska shel maharam. Right. There was an old het to iska form pi het to iska shel maharam. So it says that some truth is that if both sides understand het to iska, you could say al pi het to iska shel maharam. Nowadays, our het to iska doesn't work the same way as the het to iska shel maharam. So there are truths about what do you do if two people went and they just said al pi het to iska shel maharam. They know what they're talking about, but it says you can say it. So you say it. What do you do? The Bris Yehuda says that even if you say that, you could just do. The assumption is you meant al pi the typical het to iska that's used as man hazeh. And really, if people get together and make a loan, it's happened to me that people have called me from a business deal. They said we were supposed to bring a het iska, we forgot to. There is a heter to either say or write on the document, the loan document, the words al pi het iska. And later on, you really should draw up a document. Why? The reason is that there's a whole taina that the het iska is just a harama. So you want to make it at least karev le, as rachik beharama, let's put it that way, as possible. And therefore, you want to do a document. Two people who understand het to iska certainly are allowed to borrow money and just say al pi het to iska. If they both understand what they're talking about, then there's no shaila. I mentioned last week that if you have no clue what a het to iska is, you just sign a het to iska, there's a machlekes hapoiskim. If b'di'evet, it's a good het to iska. If you have no clue what it is, machlekes hapoiskim, if it's good. What I heard from Rabbi Yashiv is that if it's too from a yidden, so what are they saying? They're saying, we don't know what it is, but we don't want to be over in Aveira, so we're masking to whatever the agreement
is. Whatever it
says,
means,
that you could rely on it.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it with a Freie Yid, and you tell him, look, there's this thing called a Het Eska, and I'll just sign it. Or even not a Freie, just Stavon Am Haaretz, who doesn't know. Some people, they borrow from some old man or old lady who, they had no background in Torah. They're from a Yid, but... So it's highly questionable as to what... how a person could do that. What?
Would someone like that be better off on his pottery? They don't...
They're not... No. Ignorance is not an excuse.
I mean,
they should.
Somebody comes to a closing, and they say, you're lending from a bank, gets a dollar, and they say, great, I got a dollar. They don't know what it's for. I mean, does that help them? What is it?
It probably doesn't make it worse. So the question is, what good is the bank? Is the bank doing it up? He had to ask us. There are two issues. One issue is whether he's really empowered to do a het disk in the first place. If it violates banking laws, whether that would be a problem. That's one issue, which is a difficult issue. The other issue is the fact that they don't know what they're doing, what they're talking about. There is an argument against Bris Yehuda that although normally you have to know what a het disk is, if a bank, let's say, has a het disk of klali, in the case of a bank or a lending institution, it's typical business practice that you sign something and it says, subject to the bylaws of the bank. Very few people ever read the bylaws of the bank. And they know it could be many pages, maybe many volumes, I don't even know. And you know that there are certain banking regulations and certain bylaws that a bank has. The argument is that when you agree with an institution such as that, Al Pi HaTeiska, it's not contrary to... typical business practices, and that therefore that itself is a heter, even if a person doesn't understand, in the case of institutions that typically work that way. There's one other heter I'm not going to get bogged down in, but there's a Kufay and Zayin where it talks about iskas. There's a Pischei Tshuva, I think it's Chof Beis, who has a heter to draw up a heter iska. Till now I said you get 50-50 profits, 50-50 losses, and then you have the terms of the heter iska. He does have a heter to say, let's say 60-40 on the profits and 40-60 on the losses, which logically shouldn't be. If you're a 60% owner, you should get 60 and 60, or 40 and 40. His heter is based on the fact that a iska could work in a manner in which business normally works. I don't mean when business takes loans, but investors... Sometimes a managing partner is desperate for investment, so he'll take a 50-50 partner, and he'll give him 60% of the profits, but they only own the business 50-50. Or the reverse, the managing partner says, I want more, and it's a 50-50 business, but the managing partner wants 60%. So there is such a heter, the Chochmas Sodom draws up a het isk in the Chochmas Sodom based on it. I only mention it, not that anybody should go and do these things on your own, but that there are avenues of drawing up a personalized heter iska. There is such a thing. There's a young man in Lakewood, a Talmid Chacham, who has a parnasa. He draws up contracts. That's what he does for a living. He draws up iska contracts, personalized iska contracts, and other types of contracts. And heter iska could be made personalized. Now that's all I want to talk about that disc for today.
I
yeah.
What you saying before, if somebody makes a head disc, you rely on what he does by saying, and you will have to make a mistake and rely on
it. It's an interesting question. Okay, I'm not sure, because if you're saying that head disc is a harama, you say yeah, but technically I signed it, so I'm a chayiv. But he didn't technically sign it either. If you have a verbal agreement, so the verbal agreement maybe takes precedence, but it's okay. There are two other nekudas. That's in Pischei Tshuva, Kufayin Zayin Chav Beis. And the Chochmas Sodom paskens that way, otherwise it would be too much of a chiddush. Not Chav Beis, Sif Chav Beis. It's the Kufay and Zion, I think. Okay, Two things. First of all, you know, a hetiska, I don't know, it's like the Maisa Sutton. There are a lot of different types of hetiska around. Unfortunately, most people don't realize that there are different types. Like, as I mentioned last week, this for personal things and business things. So people don't like that. They come, they say, give me a hetiska. Or an hetiska, depending on how you go, the H. They say, give me a hetiska and shine. So they only want one form. So somebody once drew up a form, and it became popular. You may have seen it, especially if you're a lawyer. It has two parts. Sometimes on two pages, sometimes it's on one long page. It says, on top it has a paragraph with an explanation. It says the agreement, and on bottom it says the contract, or something like that. The top half has the agreement, bottom half has the contract. The top explains it, the bottom half has a contract. The person who wrote it was a Talmud Chacham, and there's no problem in his Chachma Satayr. However, there's a bit of a problem with his understanding of the English language. And the problem is a two-word problem. And this is so... This contract is around so much that two of the firm mortgage companies were using this contract. What it says, again, there are two parts of the iska. First it says, we have an iska, I'm investing. Second part says that if you want, instead of bringing two witnesses to prove losses and swearing to prove profits, you have the option of paying 5%. Now that's the way it should say. The English, what it says is the following words. It says, it is agreed that in lieu of the aforementioned agreement, arrangement, the managing partner shall pay 5% per annum, whatever the percentage may be. Now what that means is, in lieu means instead of, right? Instead of everything we said till now, we're going to forget everything we said till now. Instead of that, we're just paying 5%. Which means it's really a waste of time to write the top. The top is not the agreement. We're saying that in lieu of the top of the iska, instead, listen, we're just giving you 5%. Now it should say what? The problem is. Oh, in lieu is French.
It's French.
I don't know.
Yes.
What it should say is that you have the option of either the top agreement or paying 5%. You can't negate the iska. If you negate the iska, it becomes a regular loan. So it should say, when people have this ayeda words, is agreed that the managing partner has the option that in lieu of what it said before, he'll just get 5%. That small shinui makes it doable. If you just write in lieu of, that means instead of what we said till now, we're going to do this. And that's problematic.
Why is the principle of one entity lending to another entity? Both principles. Can I make a head deal to basically sign both sides?
You're the owner of both entities. If somebody owns a number of entities, I have very often asked, a person owns a company. The company is borrowing money. He says, why should the company borrow money and pay 6%? Oh, my personal money I'll lend to the company and let the company pay me 6%. If you own the company and you own the thing, it's from one pocket to another and you don't need a heteriska. You're allowed to lend yourself money. But ribis, however you draw up the books, doesn't matter. You're allowed to do it. If you sell the company, it'll become a problem. If sometimes some money is in the wife's name and the husband's name, is that considered, how do you look at that? Sir Feivel Cohn asked Rabbi Yashiv about this. He said that husband-wife is kis echad, and even though for legal reasons he puts certain entities into your name, into your wife's name, it's all kis echad, and there's no ribbis problem. If it's a child's money, though, sometimes a person wants to take the child's money. So I ask them, is it really the child's money? Sometimes parents have money in a child's name for whatever legal reasons. You have money in a kid's name. It's, it pays taxes, interest pays taxes on his bracket in the days when they used to pay interest on this thing. It's protected perhaps from lawsuits. If it's really your money, it's just in the kid's name, you have a 5-year-old and you have money in his name, so that's not his money, that's your money. It doesn't matter if legally it's his money. If it's your money, it's your money. If it's really his money, then you would need some type of an arrangement
but
where you could
controlling interest in both, not 100% of it.
Charlie had said we have to get to partnerships. We haven't gotten to it. You wouldn't even have to ISCA. When a person has controlling interest, but there are other partners, you do need a heter ISCA. As a matter of fact, we have to learn partnerships. We have to get to that.
So it's that you don't want that, being that you don't have inside knowledge of what's going on, you'll
we have inside knowledge that ISCA is not going to work. That's right.
That
ISCA won't work.
That you're a partner in.
That ISCA won't work if you're. Well, if you're the only person on both sides, there's no problem. You can't drop that disc with someone who knows. It's a true Nigus Maisha, which I mentioned. If somebody knows what happened, he can't demand a Shavua or Eidim.
Then
that disc will not work. Will not work. All right, there's a second option instead of Hetiska. Yes? Is it better not to use a hetiska? I mentioned to you that there's one of the Batei Din in Lakewood doesn't like to use a hetiska. The Bris Yehuda writes rather strongly that there is no printed misnage to hetiska in the last 200 years. He says originally when the hetiska started, they were misnaged them to it. But he writes every one of the Gedalei HaPaiskim not only wrote shulis telling people to use an iska, but they printed het iskas. The Chachmas Odom has a het iska printed. The Sma has a Kuntras HaSma with het iskas. So he says that if it's a real het iska, if both sides are from Yidden and they're really agreeing to this arrangement, then there's no reason not to use a het iska. That's what he writes.
I need to borrow.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You should go to the Yid. You should go to the Yid. Giving your business to a Yid is a mitzvah d'oraisa, and the chumrah of het iska is a chumrah. That's my opinion. Now, yes. Yes, it can be done. It has to be done correctly, but it can be done. Yeah, it could say that the 5% is not profit, it's income, and the increased value of the business itself will settle at the end of the time.
All right.
He sells it. It becomes a problem. If he sells the contract, anything that accrued up till then is no problem. But the continuation of it is a problem. People buy mortgages. It's also a problem. If you know whose mortgage you're buying, it could be a problem.
What would the borrower do?
He's stuck. I mean, the other side... What would the borrower do? I'm sorry. The purchase, though. He's saying, what happens if he's the borrower? There's an issue. What happens if somebody already borrowed money by Ribbis, he didn't realize, and now they're sending him a bill? Let's say that you borrow money from, let's say, MBNA Bank, or a bank that's, let's say, Vade Yidden, and now you found out it's an ISSA. Hey, what am I going to do? I can't pay. It's going to be Ribbis. So we mentioned AIDS. Let's say you don't have an AIDS. You don't have an AIDS. What do you do now? Do you have to wait? What's going to happen? You're not going to pay. They'll take you to court, and they'll seize your assets. So Rabbi Yashiv, I think it's even a written tshuva, writes that you're not mechuyev to go through the whole process. If you know that they're going to go to court, and they're going to take the money from you, you don't have to go through all the court expenses and headaches. You can just pay it. However, I would add, there's a separate isser in each payment of ribbis. So that it's better if you owe $100,000 instead of paying $5,000 a month to just give him the whole thing in one shot if you can and do it in one pay. As a matter of fact, there's a very amusing tshuva. You talk about cost cashes. Ramesh has a tshuva. Someone said, I borrowed the ribbis. Now I'm going to have to pay the guy. He's a fire guy. I'm going to have to pay him the ribbis. Can I already borrow more money from him for ribbis and get an extension? And I'll pay him in 10 years. Again, it'll be one payment anyway. So whether it's one payment now or one payment 10 years from now, I may as well chaperei. That's a tshuva to the Igros Maisha. Shemaisha says he's not to do it. The arrangement is in this. That's what it's
going through two arrangements.
Okay, that's what Maisha writes. There's something called sima shalai boli dekovayna. A sima, an arrangement, a long list of simon, wemachmir on sima itself, and that's what Maisha writes. What I wanted to do instead of sidetracking is just get to the second option The Mokim had to iska, and then I would like to get back to the Shulchan Aruch. There's a second option instead of heter iska, which Rav Moshe in the Igros Moshe suggests in a specific case, which we'll talk about. And Mekuli Alma, it's a better arrangement. Those who have pikpukim on heter iskas, nevertheless, are maskim to this arrangement. Rav Moshe is talking about a mortgage. I'm buying a house, and I'm borrowing money. Using a typical heter iska could be problematic, because as I mentioned to you earlier, when we started, the heter iska says that I have a business, and if you want, if I want to claim losses, I have to bring to Edim. If I want to claim lower profits, I have to swear. As Rav Moshe writes in a separate tshuva, that requirement of Edim and Shvua is only if the investor is not aware of the loss. If the investor is aware of the loss, let's say someone's buying a house, he wants to buy a house, and they draw up, the investor wants 5%. Say, okay, nowadays it sounds reasonable, we'll do a chati nova chati pekadon, we'll assume that your half is 5%, that means we're assuming real estate will go up 10%, which could go up 10%, and we're going to assume that. So you lend me money, I buy a house. Let's say Chalila, the market drops and the house values don't go up. If you know that I bought a house and you know the values didn't go up, you can't take your money. You can't say, assume profits. If there's less profits, you have to swear. If you have independent knowledge of it, you can't require a shvur. Which is why I originally told you, when you do a iska, don't ask for details of the business. Just, he's doing a business, fine, I'll buy into it. Don't let him give you all the details, because it can only make problems. The option that Ramesha suggests in the case of a house, we'll talk about using it for businesses, is a sale-lease agreement. A sale-lease agreement is the following. Let's say I'm buying a house, for whatever it is, $1 million. So I need a mortgage. Instead of a mortgage, I'd like a loan from you. You lend me $500,000. You tell me, okay, I'm getting $500,000. I'm getting a 2% in the bank anyway. I'll give it to you for 2%. So I need a heter iska. So I'm going to draw up a heter iska. The option Rav Moshe suggests, the b'makom heter iska, is a sale lease agreement. The sale lease agreement is two contracts in one: a sale agreement and a lease agreement. Before you ask what if, let's just finish the sale lease agreement, then we'll deal with the what ifs. It works the following way. You're getting $500,000, I'm buying $1 million home. You own half the house. You own half the house, I own half the house. Period. Every month, I'm going to make two payments to you. I'll give it in one check. It includes two payments. One of those payments is I'm going to pay down the principal a little bit every month. Just like when you pay a mortgage. What do? Every month you pay a small amount of principal and an amount of interest. I'm going to pay you every month a small amount of principal. I'm going to pay you interest. You didn't lend me anything. My principal is not paying a loan. I'm buying a small part of the house back from you. We're setting $500,000 at the selling price of that half of the house. And every month I'm going to give you a payment. It's going to have a certain amount, which is I'm buying the house, the sale agreement, and the rest of it is rent. After all, I'm living in a house which is half yours. So I'm going to pay you every month an amount of money for the principal plus an amount for rent. Now, listen carefully. If you take, when you get a mortgage, you get a payout, what's it called? Amortization of the payment. If you look at it, first month, I think principal is zero, and interest is $5,000. Second month, principal is $10, and the other thing is $4,990. The way it works, since you're paying down your principal by a smallest amount every month, the interest is less by a small amount. So the way it's drawn is that the principal goes up, interest goes down. Ramesha says, take that exact payout schedule, cross out the word principal, cross out the word interest. In place of principal, you put purchase. In place of interest, you put rent. Now, since every month you're buying back a little of your house, it makes sense for the rental to get to go down. And this is the way Rav Moshe suggests doing it. It happens to be that the way it works, the rentals are close to the fair market value of monthly rentals, if you consider the rentals today fair, I don't know, but it's very close to it's in the range of fair rental, and in this manner, there's no loan at all. The person owns the house, and there's no malvah leiva relationship. Usually, the guy lending you $500,000 is a friend. You want to do him a favor? You're going to start having a little malvah leiva relationship with him? No, you just do this agreement. Now, the agreement, as it's drawn up, the way I drew it up in my in the Hilchus Ribbis, there's also in English in Rabbi Bleich's third volume of Contemporary Halacha. These are the only two English language sale lease agreements that I'm aware of. It's not a translation of Rav Moshe's agreement. It's more complicated. Why? There are a lot of what ifs. If you own half my house, what about the real estate taxes? You have to pay half the real estate taxes. Not only that, if you own half my house, if Chalila, someone sues me, you're liable. So what happens if there's, God forbid, a fire and I'm not adequately insured? You're going to stand to lose half the money. You own half the house. So what the contract does is it states as the rental, there's a certain price per month for rental, plus the tenant accepts upon himself as part of the rental to pay all of these bills and to have adequate fire insurance in case there's a fire, adequate liability insurance, and his failure to do so, he's mekabel achrayus. If he doesn't have adequate insurance, he's mekabel achrayus for that guarantee.
What about the rest that you can't insure for?
What about? It's not technically true there are certain risks you can't insure for. There are risks which it's difficult to insure for. Everything can be insured for. You go to Lloyd's of London, you can insure anything. What?
No,
I'm saying, you don't actually have to. You know, if I was renting, I would be willing to sign an agreement if I lived in Florida, if I lived in New York, that I'm guaranteeing the flood. I guarantee it. I'll personally insure it. No problem. There's going to be a flood. How much is it? What's going to happen already? So it's a. I'm personally insuring it, sort of. Personally guaranteeing it. So this is the sale lease agreement. It's a highly preferable form of going about buying a house. Well, the investor, no, the investor is not going to get appreciation. There's an agreed upon sale price. No, but there's an agreed upon sale price. The sale agreement has a sale set price. It doesn't change. He's just paying it out.
What about the fall? What if he defaults? If he doesn't pay the so-called payment.
Okay, what happens if he defaults? What basically would happen in case of default is that the...
On the real mortgage.
On the person giving him the $500,000. If he doesn't pay. He doesn't pay. Every month, the rent...
He doesn't pay half the house, he doesn't pay rent the other half of the house.
All right, the rental will continue to accrue at the rate which is the equivalent of what he would have gotten for it.
What remedy does the lender have if the person now is purchased back from, he purchased back to the house, he doesn't want to buy the other, he's not paying for it.
He has no less remedy than if he had lent him the money and he didn't want to pay him back. He doesn't have any less remedy because there's still...
Okay, I'm going to my sister to the house.
The contract obligates you to pay. Just like when you borrow money, the contract obligates you to pay. If you don't pay, sure you can foreclose. You can take a third of the house. It's very likely that you would make a nice profit on it because the real estate tends to go up.
And
so you sell the house, you give him two thirds of the money, you keep one third of the money. That's what you would do.
What happens is that it's very common that you go to a religious mortgage bank and then they sell that mortgage to a non-Jewish firm immediately. So is that
his
rental agreement?
Okay, I'll answer your question. Good question. I just would like not to be confusing. The sale lease agreement is drawn up for homes. It can be used for businesses, certainly the business of real estate. It can be used for businesses, and I don't think it's typically used, but it's a second way of doing things. Now, the question was asked, what happens if I have a mortgage with Fairmont Banking, and then Fairmont, they don't hold it forever, they sell it to a bank, to a Geisha Bank. What happens now? I didn't borrow money from Fairmont. I have ISCA with them. I don't have a loan with them. In the case of Fairmont, their het to ISCA Kloli has been drawn up and to specifically address the fact that the bank has a right to, in effect, sell the mortgage. What it says is that the bank, which is an investor, has a right to sell the investment, and if they so desire, to borrow money on the achrayus of the managing partner in order to pay off their half of it. It's a rather complicated contract. It was written up about 6-7 years ago. I saw in one of the Sephardic banks, I don't remember which one, they have a Hete Iska that was drawn up by a previous Rav HaRashi in Eretz Yisrael, the Sephardic Rav HaRashi. I'm sorry, I don't remember which one. And that's the first place I saw this, that he had written provision for the sale of mortgages that are originally given up, he had to ISCA. So that the het ISCA quality of the bank addresses it, as I told you at the outset. Normally, we require you understand the het ISCA. When you do business with a bank, the bylaws of the bank are generally not known to the consumer, and therefore, as long as he obligates himself to follow the bylaws, it's not necessary that he dafka understand all of the nuances of the contract. Okay, this is sort of a rundown of het to ISCA, the way het to ISCA works, the way the sale lease agreements work. Basically, the main nakuda is that you really should understand what you're doing. When you set out to it, you should understand. Does it mean that you can take a feher on it 2 months later? Not necessarily. But a lot of agreements are that way. A lot of times you sit down with somebody, you draw up things, and then he says, oh, that trust was for what, and that thing was for what, I don't remember. All right, that's fine. As long as you know what you're doing when you enter into an agreement, that's the way things are very often done. Okay, we are going to return now to Simukov Samach. What I'd like to do is move on to Sifchaf. Not a common occurrence, but nevertheless an interesting one. We were talking, last we spoke, about the heter of an apotropos of Yisaimim, or for that matter, any charity, any tzedakah, even a Beis HaKnesses, as it said, is permitted to lend money with an agreement which calls for ribbis derabbanan. Ribbis derabbanan is also, even for a tzedakah, for hegdish, for Yisaimim, but ribbis derabbanan, the rabbanan were not geyser on mois tzedakah, or on Mois Yisaimim. What happens if the apotropos was told this? You know, you can do loans with guarantees. Now, as I mentioned, what type of ribbis derabbanan would any apotropos of tzedakah money do? There's really only one practical type of ribbis derabbanan, and that is an investment with guaranteed principal. Guaranteed principal, we said, is derabbanan. It's not ketsutza. The interest is not guaranteed. So that would be what Chazal called koroid l'schar v'rochek l'hefsid. And that type of a loan with tzedakah money is mutter. So you go to someone, you invest, he guarantees the principal, that's okay. Sivchot im over apotropis v'hilva mois yisaimim b'ribis ketsutza. We now have a case where the loan was made, the apotropis found out he has a heter, and he went overboard. He did ribbis ketsutza, he did a loan with Mois Yisaimim of ribbis d'oraisa. What do you do now? V'hechel ha-yisaimim, and he already collected the money, and the money is in the bank account of the Yisaimim. Now, what do the Yisaimim do? Piturim el-shalim afilu l'shi kishi yigdalu. Yisaimim don't have to return the money. What?
The bank account.
And they ate it. Oh, okay. Rabbi Akiva Eger is going to talk about it to the bank. Okay, one second. V'hecha Yisayimim Pashut means that the Yisayimim have already spent the money. We'll see if it's in the bank. Peturim Elishalim Atulik Sheyigdul. The Yisayimim do not have to pay, even though they get older and they want to do the right thing. The Yisayimim are potter. Why are the Yisayimim potter? Zachtaz Yitchas Lufi Sheheim Lo Yisnu Ba'is Eribis. They didn't lend money by Eribis. Lo Lachumi Ad Aloiva. Ela Aloiva Nothing La Petrupish Shesnimai. Apetrupish Nothing La Amana. Eliyasim. I feel a begezel gomor, b'chokai gav na'echayav ma'hazen. Even if someone steals and then he gives me a gift, I don't have to return it back if I used it. Ketitzanan, the last parak of Bava Kama, ha'gezel u'maych u'bonav p'turim u'l'shalim. Someone who steals and then if he uses that money to feed his children, the children are potter from paying. Koshkein ribbis. Now in that case, if someone steals and feeds his children, the person who stole has to pay. Here he says, gamma p'trupis potter. Now, Petrupus also is part of a paying with Fisha Hill, Haloiva, Loila Petrupus, so nice, and Adashi Yaakov Atmai, Elkadeshi, Moyasim, Rabbil Yasim. But Petrupus, who's Sursera the Chatah, Beinah Beteresi Shavain, he's only a middleman, no problem. This is the Machaber. The Ramah says, Gama Petrupus, Potam Lashalain, who Adin, Moishal Hegdish, Aniim, Shar Mitzvahs, all these cases, you're part of a paying. Miu ena malva neman laima demay shal hegdishayu elabaraya. The malva is not believed to say that this was my shal hegdish. If I go over to you and I make an arrangement for you and you pay me ribbis, and now you come, you say, hey, that was ribbis. I say, oh, it was tzedakah money. I have no nemanis to say that it was tzedakah money. Elabaraya, I have to prove it. I only come on to because I'm a test, etc. Zotra b'kiveiger, the hechel hayisaydin. What's the din if the money's in the bank? Now you can start clarifying. If I put money in the bank, is the money still there? No. The bank doesn't really hold the money. Let's see Rabbi Akiva Eger. Hechel ha'yisayimim. So Rabbi Akiva Eger, mashma dafka hechel. Dafka if the money is already spent. Aval, im adayin be'en. If the money is sitting in there, the cash is sitting in the closet, ma'itzian mehem. They have to return it. U'b'tshuvas ha'riva, shuva b'seis ha'mavur. The biktanim, afshadai ben ein moitzi a man kiven the chazara rak b'shem mitzvah v'lo yishib b'nechas. We discussed. I think I did it as an introduction to Hilchos Ribbis. The question of what happens by a ribbis agreement. I told you can learn it's a chayshem mishpat tikkadin or it's a yaredeya tikkadin, which means how does it work? I make an agreement for ribbis and you agree and you give me ribbis. You could say in Chayshim Mishpat, it's my money. You gave it to me willingly. It's my money. Just why do I have to return it? There's a mitzvah deraisa of a chay bohem. Hazir alai b'shvil sheyichya. You have to give it back. You should be able to live. It's a mitzvah saseh. So it's really my money. Let's say it was a lulav. I lend you money, and tonight you give me back the money plus a lulav. Now I shake the lulav on the first day of Sukkot. Avishayla, is that lulav lachem? Is it my lulav, or is it not lachem? If you learn Isurei Ribbis is a Chayshim Mishpateke Isur, then it's a stolen lulav. I have no right to the lulav. If you learn that it's a Yeredeya Dike Isur, then it's my lulav. Just Hilchis Yeredeya, there's a mitzvah say Chay Bahem. I shouldn't have made such an arrangement. And that's that. If I go into the store and buy something, somebody goes to the store and buys something on Shabbos, you don't say it's not his. He did it on Beirut, but it's his. So Rabbi Kivega here brings from the Rivash. Alright, maybe he's Chalukim, but for these purposes, I mean, as a marshal, the example of Lulav is a Tshuvas Aruch Lener. He says it's probably in this. And what's it called? Aruch Lener's Tshuvas Sefer. I always have a mental block on it. B.N.C.N. Right. I always remember it starts with an Aleph of Beis, because on the shelf in Torah Vadas, it's in the state of Aleph. I have a mental block on the Aruch Lener's Tshuvas Sefer. B.N.C.N. Okay, anyway, Dr. Akiva Eger, if the money is be'en, it's mashon shulchan aruch that you have to give it back. But the Rivash argues it's not so. So the Rivash, what are you talking about? The money is the money of the Yisayimim. They have a mitzvah to give it back. If they're ketanim, they're not mechuyev to give it back. Rak mishum mitzvah. V'lo yishib in the chasim kedula kamon. There's a raya from later. The Yisayimim ketanim la v'nei meved mitzvah ninu. Ayin sham. Mekom akim mash v'sham. That's dafka k'shadasin Yisayimim ketanim. Dafka if they were ketanim and they're not b'nei mitzvah. If the hands of money is still in the hands of the apotropis, you give it back. Rabbi Kiva goes into a Kivega, goes down to a shayla of Zachin La'adam Shalai Gafanav, and the money got to the apotropis, Al Tzchiyah, Yishuv Yizaycha. So he goes into, in the case of an Aveira, did that call this chus? Alright, this is the Shulchan Aruch's case. There are two nekudas here. He refers to Mishnah Malach. Good. He says, King Karsav Mishnah Malach, Rabbi Kivega.
Rabbi Kivega, Mishnah Malach.
He refers to it, yeah. There are two issues here. One issue, this touches on probably the most yesidistic hakira. There are two yesidistic hakiras in Hilchos Shlichus, Shlichus Shalom Kamaisai. One is the hakira if it's the Yadei Arichta or not, all the yeshivas are hakira. There's a hakira in Shlichus, which is a machlaikis. And Rabbi Yehuda and this Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi Horowitz, who he is mechutna, who he argued with, and the Sivas. This is a general question in Hilchos Shlichus. In Hilchos Shlichus, the question, the case, Meisr Shaya Kachay. A man wanted to give his wife a get. The case happened to be they were separated for 11 years already. She refused to take a get, and he finally decided he had enough. He's going to. The halach is, if you get bar karchach of a woman, it's chal. There's a chayim Rabbeinu Gershon, you're not supposed to give bar karchach, but the Rabbeinu Gershon did wasn't a battle to get. He had enough, so many years, he's going to give her a get, he'll force it into her hand, finished. No, he wasn't strong enough to do it. He's not a rough fellow. He hired two strong people, and Yidden, Shluch HaShalom Kamaisai, it's all over Yidden, that he can make a shliach to give a get. So he gave them the get, and he said, force her to take it. And they went to her, and they forced her to be mekabel the get, and the number of gedolei ha'poskim in Europe said that he could remarry. Rabbi Yehuda said, nothing doing. It's not a good get. A get for a kach of a woman is a good get. We all know that. He said, look, Rabbeinu Gershon made a cheirim that you're not allowed to give a get to a woman in Balkarcha. You have to come to an accommodation. You're not allowed to give a woman a get against her will. It's a chayim Rabbeinu Gershom. If Rabbeinu Gershom said, if you're going to do it, I'm not mevatel the get. It's not oikah the deraisa. So if a man gives his wife a get Balkarcha, the get is chal. But there's a chayim Rabbeinu Gershom that you're not allowed to give a get Balkarcha. And that chayim, even though the chayim a man taking two wives was not makubal by Hokal Yisrael, the chayim Rabbeinu Gershom was makubal by Hokal Yisrael. This one. So that's the Yehuda. When you make a shliach to give a get, that's a shliach l'dvar aveira. You made someone a shliach to give a get against the woman's wishes. A shliach l'dvar aveira. The shlichus is not chal. These two people gave a get. They're not the husband. They're giving a get. Shalai kedin. There's no shlichus. Without shlichus, only a husband can give a get. So he said, what?
Not explain the rules of cherem to make sure that that's true. What does cherem have to do with avera? You don't know that cherem has a in avera.
All right, I have to explain. The din of cherem comes from a pasuk in the end of Parshas Bechukaisai. The pasuk there talks about the word cherem. The Ramban says the Klal Yisrael, the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael, has a kayak to create charamim. What are those charamim? Do they become deraisas? The Ramban holds it becomes a nisa deraisa. There are chayokim, there are those who hold that a derabbanan can become a deraisa, and it doesn't become a deraisa. But there is a power in Klal Yisrael to create, by a kabbalah of Klal Yisrael, or by Gzeres HaMelech. The Ramban gives an example when Shaul was mashbiya da'om not to eat until the Mochama was over. And Yenison ate, and he's chayav Misa. The kasha is, why is Yenison chayav? He didn't swear, he wasn't even there. So Ramban says, no, the Melech has a kayak to be charamim, even chiyuve Misa. That's the kayach of the cherem. Klal Yisrael, by accepting or by having a melech make a gzera, can accept haramim derachal as isurim. Let me just finish. Rabbi Yehuda said, "Ein shliach hadvar averus not chal." This mechutn of his, this Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi Horowitz, was one of the paiskim. I saw him called Rabbi Yitzchak Hamburger. I don't know if you people who know history maybe know who he was. He wrote a tshuva, which is printed, this is in Neid Yudah Kama, Tshuva Ayin Hei is Neid Yudah's original Tshuva. This caused an uproar in Europe, clearly. Tshuva Ayin Vav is this Rabbi Yitzchak Horowitz's letter back, and Tshuva Ayin Zayin, and Ayin Ches, and Ayin Tes, and Pei, and Pei Aleph, and Pei Beis are the Nayib Yehuda's continued dialogue with different Gedalei Yisrael, and this is all in Nayib Yehuda Kama. Yehuda Basra, the second hand of the Nayib Yehuda, I know only of one, I know of at least one more Tshuva on the topic. He argued, you're right, but 1 minute, there are two parts of shlichus. Let's say I make someone a shliach to go to the store for me on Shabbos to buy something. It's an aveira, I'll buy things on Shabbos. There are two parts. One is the maisa aveira. When someone buys something, there's a certain einish. Shluchish lodom kamaisa would say, if I tell you to do it, I get the einish. So the rule of shlichus dvar aveira says no. He gets the einish. The maisa aveira is not nisiachis to the shliach in shliach advarve. There's a second thing, the chalois. Chalois means if you go and you buy something for me, it doesn't. Why would it become mine? Only through shlichus. Or if I tell you separate truma for me, why you can't separate my truma? Why is it chal truma? You take one fruit out of a basket of fruit, say, Harry's a truma. Why is it truma? You're not the owner. That is also shlichus. Shluchish on kamaisa. You're like the owner. And the meila says, shluchish on kamaisa. If you separate, it's chal. Let's say I send you to separate truma. Min haro ala yafa. Add tomatoes. I tell you, separate truma for me. But listen, take the ones that are very soft and not sellable, separate that for truma. It's an isa deraisa. This I say, no, separate min ara alayafim. I make a shliach to separate. Zuck, this Rav Yitzchak Hamburger, he says the aveira of separating min ara alayafim ain't shlichut var aveira. I sent you, it's your aveira, ain't shlichut var aveira. Is the truma chal? The truma is chal. The chalois at truma. Ain't shlichut var aveira is not ma'akiv in the chalois. If I send you to buy something on Shabbos, the sale is chal. He brings in that tshuva 12 or 13 rayas. So Yitzchak Kalevi Horowitz brings 12 or 13 rayas, either from Shas or Paiskim, that it's so, that even if you make a shliach to do an aveira, the mice is not chal, the chalais is chal. So even though they gave the get forcibly, he says that the chalais haget is chal. The Yehuda writes back in very sharp language, interesting tshuva to look, Simon Ayin Zayin, even if you're not learning it, just to see the sharpness of it. He writes to his dear Mechutin, he writes, I see everything you wrote, in the very beginning he says, what you wrote is only La'avas HaNitzachim. He says, you want to win, you know, you did something and then you're wrong and now you just want to win. He says, Shekasafta Devarim Sha'afilu Einam Devarim Sha'ein Bahem Amish. This is Lashon. They're not even Devarim Sha'ein Bahem Amish. They're nothing. But he says, you know, you wrote 12 or 13 rayas, a reader will think you're right. I'll go through all of them and show you how they're foolish. And on raya number 10, I think it was, he writes, on raya number 10, I shouldn't even write anything. Because your raya shows you don't know how to learn Gemara. That's right. And I really should just ignore it. Someone's going to read it to bazillion to you. But he says, I know that people read shuvas. What do? I felt funny reading it because I had done this. They read the tshuvas, they make a list of all the rayas. Then they read the other person's tshuva and they check off which ones are answered. So they're going to see you brought so many rayas. I skipped this one. They're going to say, oh, like you didn't have an answer on this one. So therefore, I'm mukhuch to be mevazi you and to show you that you don't want Gemara right. It's a very interesting nekuda because it seems he misunderstood that particular raya. Yeah, let me just finish. So he argues with it. And this, there's a lot written on. Nesivus agrees with this Rabbi Yitzchak Halevi Horowitz that the chalois is chal, but outside of the Nesivus, nobody in all the Achrayim all reject this concept that the chalois is chal. Kamat, everybody rejects it to the degree where Moshe was asked halacha lemais and a tshuva and chayshim mishpat. Where Moshe writes the halacha is like the Negev Yehuda, and I'm not willing to discuss rayas. Because that'll mean that there's a question. And it's already, and shlichut va'aveira means it's not chal. And that's mekubal on Klal Yisrael, and that's it. The Stipler writes about this Nesivus. Nesivus says, Reiv HaPaiskim, he calls his shita. He says, Ma nase shelo yadanu mihem Reiv HaPaiskim. I think he says, Avachad mehem lo yadanu, something like that. Basically, the Tzais, Rabbi Kiva Egev, and Yeshua, they all went with the Nadi of Yehuda. Chalais is not chal. What is, what? Because Moshe? Which one? The original tshuva is Ayin Hei, in Kama. Ayin Vav is distributed like Levi Har, which is Raya's name. The Machne Ephraim says, there's a Sif in Shulchan Aruch that sounds like Rabbi Yitzchak HaLevi Horowitz. Which, guess which Sif? He says, Sif Chav, Simek of Samach, it seems to be a Raya of Akeret. What did the other troopers do? He lent money of Yisayman, the Ribis Ktsutsa, which is an Aver. He took the money and put it into the Yisayman's hands, whether it's still around, not around, it came to the Yisayman. Now, what we're saying is, Yisrael don't have to pay. If it's banned, maybe they do. If it's not banned, certainly don't have to pay, because it's too late. Frektem after Ephraim, 1 minute.
Yeah.
There was an agreement. Why did the borrower pay? Because he had an agreement. But the agreement, if you say, the agreement wasn't chal. If you say there was no chal of the agreement, that Petrupus didn't have money, he didn't lend his own money, he lent someone else's money. If he lent someone else's money, beged shliach, you say ain shliach udvar aveira, then the whole agreement is not binding in the first place. Then the paying of ribis, it's a mekartos. It's not v'chai behem, day after return it, because v'chai behem, you have to return it. No! The whole agreement is not chal, it's not binding. And he paid money, it was totally a toss, and he should get his money back. Side Apotropis, who took the money, should have to give it back. He took it to toss. And side the assignment, they got the money to toss.